O God, may the meditations of our hearts be pleasing as we reflect on the words we will hear and the message we will receive. May our lives be guided by your wisdom and truth. Amen. By a quick show of hands, please raise your hand if you've ever flipped tables and driven money changers out of the temple. No, nobody? Just Jesus then? Our gospel today contains a tale that people use as a show of how human Christ could be. Jesus preached turning the other cheek when presented with violence and oppression, because violence is never the answer. Jesus preached rendering unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, which sometimes gets summed up as pay your taxes. Jesus fulfilled the law rather than abolish it. Bacon-wrapped shrimp are fine, but don't lie. Jesus wept, showing again that Christ experienced the vast depth and breadth of all that human joy and suffering can and should be. But it is also good to remember that flipping tables and driving people out is not outside the realm of possibility for Christ-like behavior. And some would simply describe Christ as angry here, caught up in a moment of wrath. A righteous anger, but still caught up. And maybe that's so that when we are angry, it doesn't feel as wrong. It's an observation of mine that people seem angrier than ever before in human history. And maybe that's influenced by social media, where every time you didn't get good service, you can post a review to Yelp, or you can tweet about something that's made your day upsetting. Make a post about how you're mad at a musician or an artist or the world. Yet in a few short weeks, we will talk about a crowd chanting, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him." People are angry at how the world is, how things are broken, how they are not as they should be, how it does not seem like we are living in God's world. And I'm growing more certain that this is not a new understanding of the world. In the 90s, there was a genocide in Rwanda, and a film made about it touched very poignantly upon this, because portions of that genocide were televised, were witnessed around the world. There was an exchange between the hotel manager who sheltered people in his hotel and a photojournalist who captured on film some of what was happening there. And the hotel manager asks, how can they not intervene when they witness such atrocities? And the photojournalist replies, I don't know. I think if people see this footage, they'll say, oh my God, that's horrible. And then go on eating their dinners. Things that do not directly impact us tend to not be important to us. We can look at horrible, terrible things and identify that they are horrible and terrible. And then we go back to what we were doing. The Holocaust Memorial Day Trust has the following poem about a different genocide. First they came for the communists and I did not speak out because I was not a communist. Then they came for the socialists and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. United Methodists have some history for speaking up for what is right, what is good, what we think is God's will when we see an injustice in the world. And because of Albert C. Outler, we usually think of ourselves as being wise and prudent when we make decisions. We start with scripture as a base, but also use tradition, reason, and experience. But even then, we don't always get it right. From the Book of Discipline, there is a section that covers United Methodist history. It is a brief look into the history of the United Methodist Church, but it contains the following statement. The conference took a forceful stand against slavery and made that witness a featured commitment in the new church's discipline. Regrettably, the church steadily retreated from that courageous stand. There have been times in human history where we have chosen to do the right and righteous and good thing, and there have been other times where we have failed. And I cannot tell you precisely what our human future holds. I do not know what tomorrow will bring. But I can tell you this. God has given us wisdom, and we must use that to follow God's laws, like those of the Ten Commandments, that remind us to always put God first. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That means no money, no country, no person, no place, no thing. God is supposed to be first in our hearts, in our minds, in our priorities. That's why the money changers had to go. They came to the temple to gain financially, not to serve God or their fellow believers, but to serve themselves. They were there for the money, so they had to go. And conventional wisdom tells us a lot of things about how the world works and how life should be. And has God not made foolish the wisdom of the world? When Christ came incarnate, taking on flesh, it was an inverted power structure. A revolution with no swords and very, very limited fighting. A king born in a manger. A redeemer out of a nowhere town that should have been a nobody. But nobody's nobody. And it is entirely possible to trust fully in God and believe in God's goodness and grace and mercy, and also take knowledge from the world. Scientific facts can be overturned by God because we are a people who believe in miracles, because nothing limits God, not even our own limitations and understandings. We are the weak link, not God. But if we are told that wearing a mask will help prevent a deadly virus from harming others, what is our moral obligation as followers of Christ? Do we not need to wear masks? Long before the Methodist Church was the Methodist Church, it was a society. And John Wesley had three rules for that society. Back when the classes and the societies called individuals to task for their sins and would kick you out if you did not make progress towards Christian perfection. Rule one was do good. Feed the hungry, house the unsheltered, care for your neighbor, show God's amazing love to every person you meet. Do good, but not for your own gain, for God's. It is God's glory that we worship here, not humanity's, and certainly not our own. The second rule is the harder one. Do no harm. And we think that we act with good intentions, and sometimes that is when we do the most harm. We are reminded that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. That when we think we are acting in the best interest of others, sometimes we cut them down and hurt them more than we can imagine. And when flipping tables and driving people out is an option, how do we do no harm? One way is we think of others, we act with integrity, we listen for God's will, we point ourselves towards God first and always. And we are empowered to discern for ourselves what that looks like in our lives, to make choice, to have freedom. For you see, the third rule is to attend to the ordinances of God, which is a very fancy way of saying go to church, study your Bible, pray, and as often as possible participate in the sacraments. Take time to be holy. In my moral theology classes, we were taught that there was a time in the Christian church tradition where every single Sunday, the entirety of the Ten Commandments and the Beatitudes were read so that people would remember that this is God's law, and this is the ethic by which we live our life in response to things that have happened since then. I want to confess that initially this sermon was just going to be a statement at the beginning of the service about masks, about how the policy in our church will not be changing until it is safe to do so, until we can do no harm by removing our masks. And it's not meant to be a table-flipping, driving-out sort of sermon. It is my ardent hope that my words today inspire you to carry on with the strength and faith and courage of your convictions that have already been demonstrated to me by this congregation. To continue to love your neighbor. To sacrifice in this way. Because life is tough. And sometimes we have to sit with that. To pray on it. To seek God. To know that things don't always work out, but there will be peace and comfort and joy all the same. And we are promised that God is with us, Emmanuel, God with us. So how bad can it really be? We have a multitude of choices, and we get to choose God. God who loves us, restores us, redeems us, the rock upon which our faith is built. We are not all called to chase the money changers out of the temple, to speak out on social justice issues. That is a unique calling in and of itself. But we are all called to speak up for God's love, grace, justice, and mercy. We are called to care for God's creation, to be good stewards. And not just in that 20 seconds of empathy kind of way described in Hotel Rwanda. We can't just go back to the feast. We cannot ignore the pain and suffering and harm done to others. We cannot just ask for forgiveness from our merciful God and go back to doing what we have always done. Because we are invited to join in what God is already doing. I mentioned earlier that Christ braided a whip before he drove out the money changers. And modern scholars tell us that even if he had the leather ready to go, it would have taken about 3 days to braid a cord into a whip. So for anyone who says that this is Christ having a moment of wrath or being human, 3 days is a long time to sit and stew. We are in this for the long haul. Forever with God does mean forever. And now is not the time to abandon our faith by choosing our own selfish endeavors, whatever they may be, over God's offer of eternal life. What is convenient? What is easy? Christ redeems us when we slip up. Full stop. End of sentence. But we would be fools if we think for 1 second that not wearing a mask is more than a sin. Because sin is doing something that makes you feel apart from God. Evil is doing something that harms yourself or others. There is already enough evil in this world, enough sin. We don't need to add to it. Therefore, wear your mask, wash your hands, and may God forgive us all for every preventable death from this pandemic. Amen.